We begin today's Balanced Word with these words from our teacher, Dave Rolf.
So often in this world, we teach people that find what you're really good at and then do that. And where that may be good advice for a profession, it's sometimes horrible advice for ministry. Because often what God wants you to do is find out what you're really lousy at and then offer it to Him and let Him use it and let Him work in you. That'll be more amazing. That will be more impressive. That will be more, as he says, marvelously helped.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
I can do it myself. Remember uttering that as a child? Maybe it wasn't long after that you fell on your face. We sometimes carry that attitude on into adulthood. But the message of 2 Chronicles is, be careful if you're strong. Weakness is a sign of great potential when God is in the equation. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolf will encourage us to embrace our weakness and receive God's strength. Yes, that's countercultural, but it is where God wants us. Join us in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And let's learn a lesson or two from Uzziah's experience.
If we understand that to live our lives defensively and protectively and with this paranoia and with our goal in life not losing what we have, then we stop moving forward and good things won't happen in our lives. Because God desires to have a living and vital relationship with us whereby we move forward. Not that we sit still. We sit still, we slide backwards. I often, when I'm talking to people who are struggling, thinking about suicide, and they're just saying, you know, my life is worthless. There's no reason for me to live any longer. No one cares about me. There's no hope for me. I'm just going to die. And sometimes I'll say to them, hey, good plan. But look, how about give just a little bit of time? And during this time, why don't you just pour yourself into the Word and begin to serve God and to share the gospel with people? Start to do things for the Lord. Get involved helping out in some way. And then after a month or so, go ahead and kill yourself. Why? Because once you start moving forward, you realize, wow, I'm not dead yet. There still is something that God wants to do in my life. And so if you're feeling, you know, like you want to die, why not wait long enough to come to our work day? No, I'm just kidding. but you see the point? It's like, you know what? If you don't have anything to lose, then why not just pour yourself out? Give your life to the Lord. Live for Him aggressively. Moving forward, take some risks, take some chances, and you never know what God might do. Like the lepers, you may find yourself all of a sudden sharing the good news with the world, with everyone who wouldn't have anything to do with you before. Why not? See, the benefit of weakness is, I'm ready. If I only have $5 to my name, I'll put it on red and let the wheel spin. Really, that's not, I'm not advocating gambling. But what I'm saying is, if you don't have much to lose, why not do something really crazy for the Lord? Just really put it on the line, lay it on the line like you've never done before. On the other hand, if you're strong, be careful. If you're just starting to worry about protecting everything that you have, sitting like Scrooge McDuck on your pile of money and just not wanting anyone to get to it, be careful. Because that's the way to end your life now. Don't stop living. Don't stop advancing. Don't stop taking chances. It's only when you take a risk that you will see God's hand at work in your life. And I can prove it if you look back. Think about the times when you took the biggest risk that you've ever taken in your life. And I'd suggest to you it was probably when you didn't have much to lose. So a good thing about weakness, not only that it causes us to rely on God, but it brings us to the point where we're willing to take chances, where we're willing to put ourselves in a position to where we're in big trouble if God doesn't show up. Now, God is faithful, But sometimes when we take chances, I'm not sure if it's that that's what God wanted us to do, or if it's just Romans 8:28 kicking in and he's going, oh no, they're doing it again, and he comes through and works it together for good. I don't even care which one it is. The fact is he comes through. The fact is he helps us. And even those risks that we take and they don't work out, we're better off, we learn more, we've benefited from taking those risks. It's why there are some people who, their life is totally comfortable. Everything's going well, and all of a sudden, boom, the apple cart is flipped over. My whole life is upside down. God rips someone away from me, takes them out of my life. Everything I was trusting in, it's all gone. What do I do now? And sometimes it's in the seeds of those difficulties and that weakness that God will put something huge on your heart. And you'll find yourself in a place where you're much better off than you ever would have been sitting on your pile of whatever it is that you're sitting on. Because God wants more for you. Your life isn't over yet. You're not dead. So keep moving forward in the Lord. Keep taking chances. Lay it on the line. Be willing to lose what you have to gain something that's much more valuable than what you have. Don't become so conservative that you just won't risk anymore. Because God has ways of weakening you if he has to in order to get you to step out and take a big chance on him. Exhibit faith in a living God who wants to continue to work in your life. A third thing that I see from this, not just that weakness causes us to trust in God where strength causes us to trust in ourselves, not just weakness allows us the risks that we wouldn't take when we're strong, but thirdly, as we see so often in life, as we've all learned in our lives in one way or another, God gets the greater glory when he does his work through someone who's weak. And the whole point of everything that God does is for him to get the glory. Now you think, now wait a minute, that sounds really egotistical. Not at all. See, the message that God's trying to get across to the world is they need him. And so if they need him, they need to see how great he is. And the best way they could see how great he is for him to use someone like you when you're weak. Paul said to the Corinthian church, God, when he constructed the church, has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What does that mean? It means when God built his church, he started with these pillars, the disciples, who were a bunch of societal cast-offs, mostly guys who had been fishing all their lives, others that we don't even know if they had a job. One was a tax collector. And he goes, this will be great. I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell won't prevail against it, and I'm going to use these kind of people. And that's why he chose you, and that's why he chose me, because in our weakness, he can demonstrate his strength. In what we aren't, he can do something whereby he gets all the glory. You know, if you build a building out of all the finest building materials, and if you have it designed by the greatest architect and engineering firm that there is, and you put unlimited funds into constructing that building, it'll be a great building. But there are a lot of great buildings. But if somehow you're able to build a beautiful building out of all junk that you pulled out of the city dump, the glory will go to the builder. People will go, I've never seen anything like that. I enjoy sometimes watching these home makeover shows, but I've noticed a progression through the history of them that it's getting kind of interesting. The early ones, like Trading Spaces, they would get like a couple of people in each house, and they would just trade places. And so you would go over and decorate someone else's room, and they would decorate your room. And in this effort, you'd find that, well, you know, the people, your neighbors, they don't know what they're doing. You're trusting them to decorate your house, and they're trusting you to decorate their house. And you're amateurs, and you don't know what you're doing, and often it showed. And it would turn out okay. And you'd go, man, I'm surprised. I didn't really think it would be this good. But then gradually the shows have developed to where then they have shows where now you bring in like four or five professionals and one amateur. And then you do a makeover of the house, and hey, it's looking a lot better. Now, finally, we've got the ultimate in ABC's, you know, home makeover. You've got, I mean, it starts looking the same, except now they're really gravitating toward people with horrible diseases and taking their house. And then instead of fixing the house up, they just come in and bulldoze the house. Like, let's not mess around and pretend like we're fixing something. They level the house. And then, you know, you got Ty Pennington walking around yelling in that megaphone. You have an assortment of staff people that are just kind of floating around, but they don't do anything. And then you have a crew of several hundred professional builders come in with a contractor that builds houses all the time. Plus, they've already pre-constructed the house. It's all made off-site. Permits are already pulled. I hate to shatter you, but when they show up at the door, those people aren't surprised. This has been going on for a long time. And then in a week, with the best help, the best materials available, and all the money from ABC and Sears behind them, boom, they put up this beautiful house. Now, it's a beautiful house. But frankly, I'm not as amazed that they can do that with all those resources as I was back in the old days when, you know, your two goofy neighbors could actually make your bedroom look halfway decent. See, of course professionals are able to do it. But God says, you know what? I'm not ABC. I'm not Mr. Prefab. What I like to do is take people that don't know what they're doing, and I want to do something more beautiful than the house that they're doing on the home makeover. I want to make just an amazing mansion. And that's what he does. And he chooses to do it through people who are unqualified, incapable, people who are depressed and down and frustrated and have no background at all in doing this. He goes, when I use you, then people are going to notice me and I'll get the glory. And that's good news for us, because what it means is we're qualified. That God wants to use us, that he wants to work through us. As long as we're seeking God, it'll happen. Once we become professionals at life, once we become professionals at church, at Christianity, at ministry, then we need to look out. Because if all we're trying to do is stuff we already know how to do, it doesn't stretch us the way he wants us to be stretched. And also, there you are playing the same song for the 100th time. All of a sudden, it's not so amazing. Just cue up the tape. I'm not being stretched anymore. There you are teaching the Sunday school class that you've taught 1,000 times before. You can do it in your sleep. Here I am preaching a message that I've preached so many times before that it's just like, look, as long as I'm awake, I think I can get this thing out. But we need to, you and I, we need to stretch ourselves. And we need to go beyond which is our normal, because that's how God gets the glory. Not going through the motions, not just doing what we're good at. So often in this world, we teach people that find what you're really good at and then do that. And where that may be good advice for a profession, it's sometimes horrible advice for ministry. Because often what God wants you to do is find out what you're really lousy at and then offer it to him. And let him use it. Let him work in you. That'll be more amazing. That will be more impressive. That will be more, as he says, marvelously helped. Now, in the New Testament, we have an example of the Apostle Paul. He was great at a lot of things. In fact, he had a vision, he says, over in 2 Corinthians 12, whereby he was actually taken up and he saw heaven. And he had all these incredible revelations. He said, if I told you about it, I'd have to kill you. It's just, they're amazing. I can't describe them. But having done and experienced that, he said, God allowed me to have a thorn in the flesh, probably a physical ailment, perhaps his bad eyesight and a disease that he had in his eyes that historians tell us his eyes would ooze and run all the time. And you can tell from Paul's letters that he had a hard time seeing to write, and so he used scribes to do it. And Paul said, man, when I got that thorn in the flesh, I prayed. I prayed, I cried out to God three different times, God, deliver me. The same Paul who had prayed for other people and they were healed, prayed for his own need, and God didn't respond. And then finally God did respond, and he said, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is going to be made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul responded and said, you know what? I'm glorying in my weakness. I realize that when I am weak, then God can be strong. And that's the way God works, always. Paul understood it. It's not to say that God didn't use Paul's strengths, but Paul's strengths were so much more usable because of his weakness, because he had this flaw, because of this thing that we would say was really holding him back. It actually was used by God to make him effective. And so, what does this mean to us? Some of us today, we're strong. We're doing fine. We're doing well. The message from God to you right now, if you're really strong, be careful. Be really careful. Because sometimes strength means the ride is almost over. When you're living in the past, when you're talking about how hard you worked to get where you are, and now all you want to do is stay where you are, you're setting yourself up for failure. Be careful. Be willing to work on your weaknesses. Be willing to be used in your weaknesses. Be willing to be stretched by God. Be willing for God to get glory even if you look dumb. Sometimes that means just trying things that are outside the realm of your expertise. Sometimes it means starting back to square one and just going, God, I need you. I can't figure out what you want me to do next. What's the next chapter of my life? Be willing to allow yourself to be weakened if you find yourself strong. And don't get so conservative that all you're trying to do is build forts and protect yourself. But how about those people who are in here right now who go, I understand the weakness thing. Man, you don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what I'm going through in my life right now. I feel so alone. I feel so drained. I feel so useless. There's nothing God could do through me, in me, for me. The message for you is, guess what? God wants to work, as he said here, marvelously to help you. When you're weak, he's going to make you strong, like the little kid song, Jesus Loves Me, says. They are weak, but he is strong. And it's who he is that matters. It's his strength that matters. And so, if you're weak, be excited. Look forward. Take a chance. Think wild things. See what it is that God might lay on your heart and go ahead and take the risk. You don't have anything to lose. Don't take that last shred of what you have and hang on to it or just use it for yourself. Instead, go, you know what? I want to live my life recklessly and dangerously and riskfully for Jesus Christ. I'm weak, and so, okay, whatever I have, Lord, you can have it. It's yours. That's the key. And that's how God gets his work done always. If you were once Uzziah, where you didn't have anything and now you have a lot, don't fall into the trap of going back to where you don't have anything again. But dedicate yourself to the Lord. Allow him to work through you. Weakness is a sign of great potential when you put God in the equation. Don't forget it. Maybe you've failed in some huge way in your life. Maybe you feel like all your good chances and opportunities are gone. You've blown it all. And now here you're living with the consequences of a life that wasn't very well spent. Well, hey, no better chance than now to get back on the right track and to attack the Philistines and to take those opportunities and to allow God to work just marvelously on your behalf. Even if it's just because he has to rescue you. He marvelously helped Uzziah, and he wants to marvelously help you. And it really shouldn't be such a surprise when you think about it, because look at God. What was God's greatest moment of success? Was it when he spoke the universe into existence? He just said, let there be light, and poof, there was light. That's pretty good. You ever try it? Have you done that? I've tried it a couple times. It just didn't work very well. But that wasn't God's greatest moment. In fact, it says that that was the work of his fingertips. But when did God bare his arm? When did he show his power? It was on that hill called Calvary, outside the wall of Jerusalem, when God in the flesh, Jesus Christ himself, was in weakness, nailed to a cross. As his fellowship with the Father was for the first time in all of eternity ripped apart, as he from his heart cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he took your sins and mine upon himself, and he died that horrible death. That was the greatest thing God has ever done. That was the day when you saw God's power. So we shouldn't be so surprised if our greatest day might be a day of pain and glory. It might be a day of emptying and filling. It might be sometimes a cross that we have to bear, a difficulty that we have to face in order to see God work marvelously on our behalf. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, God has a great future for you. He wants to do it. It's just around the corner. I don't care how weak or empty you are. God wants to fill you. God wants to give you a new start. Glory in your weakness. Thank God for the fact that by this definition, God, I'm really qualified because I'm really weak. It's just like the devil. When you fail and when you're weak, he tells you it's all over for you. Just hang it up. You've blown it. It's too late. But God comes and tells you the truth. He goes, I've been waiting for this moment. You just noticed me. You're so desperate that you're willing to even give me a chance. And God goes, I'm going to do marvelous things for you. And that's what he wants to do for each of us. Now, right now. Our future from here on, that's what it comes down to. There are some of you that maybe haven't even given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you think you've got it all, doing really well. Came to church because, well, it's Mother's Day and you got dragged here. But God is saying to you, even if you're strong, be careful. And he's saying, if you don't turn to me now, just remember me. I'll be there when you fall, and your fall is going to come. If anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. So just be ready for that. But if you've come here desperate, you've come here empty, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, he's waiting. What do you have to lose? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Check it out. Enter into a relationship with him where you're completely sold out to him and see what he does. See what exciting adventures he has in store for you. Chances that you're going to take that are going to pay off with this marvelous work of God in your life. For some of you, you've been walking with the Lord for years, but you can't even remember the last time you tried something dangerous. You quit taking risks a long time ago and you're playing it safe. I would just encourage you this week, go ahead and start over. Go to square one and say, God, is there something that you want me to do? Is there a risk you want me to take? And if you'd like prayer for that, again, people in the prayer room would love to pray with you.
We've noticed a few things about weakness today on The Balanced Word. It causes us to rely on God. It brings us to the point where we're willing to take chances. And it's also where God receives the greater glory. So embrace your weakness and receive God's strength. Pastor Dave Rolfe's message today is called The Problem with Strength. It's part of our study in 2 Chronicles. He'll be right back with more. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Again, thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too. ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Now let's finish our time in prayer.
Lord, we're guilty of thinking we're cool when we're strong. We don't turn to you. We get conservative and protective of what we have, and you don't get the glory. But Lord, we would rather be weak. And if you have to weaken us, you can do that, Lord. You have our permission. Because we don't want to stop living. We want to keep moving forward with you, bringing glory to you, enjoying fellowship with you. And so, God, help us today to embrace our weakness and to receive your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll cover more ground in 2 Chronicles next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Raw. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.